Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Good morning. It's great to be here, back at Opawa. And in fact, it was way back in February that Rod rang and said, could I come? So he plans well in advance, and so we agreed on today. I didn't realise that daylight saving was going to be happening, and the election hadn't even been called at that stage. So election meant a late night last night wanting results, and daylight saving meant getting up extra early this morning so that I could come down from Auckland. And sometime after Rod had rung me, I got a call from Island Baptist wondering if I could come down on Sunday, the 24th of September. And so I said, no, I'm going to Christchurch. So, I'm going to Opawa. So it's great to be here with you. Rumour has it that Rod made some introductory remarks last week about me. Sort of pre-warned you. Most of the comments he made were probably true. Can I tell you some stuff about Rod? From when we met more than 30 years ago, and what I could tell you about Rod is probably true. But this is sermon time, not digging dirt on... Oh, you'd rather dig the dirt. All sorts of stories. But we don't want to hear about who's worse, Rod or me or my sister or I, or who's the better or worst preacher. I'll leave you to judge that. And I know you've been going through some of what Philip Yancey calls the Bible Jesus read, the Old Testament, part of the Bible that we often neglect, and we like more the New Testament bits. But we've had an opportunity to hear something of the Old Testament. And now we're at the very beginning of the season that in Kiwi Baptist churches we call prayer and self-denial. Special focus on mission and the work of NZBMS, Transcend and so on. And the theme of Ngā Tonga Tuku Iho, treasures handed down. And over the next few weeks we're having that theme of those treasures. Rod's going to be looking at people as treasure, and where is your treasure, I think, over the next couple of weeks. And today, the gospel of treasure, this great treasure that is the gift of God's Son and his sacrifice on the cross for us. So today we're looking at gospel as treasure, as I said, and I'm specifically going to look at the story of how this amazing treasure got out and about and beyond the narrow confines of the church, as it was in those early days. Because church was going well 2,000 years ago, and then some surprises happened. Now, last night, how many of you watched the election results or listened? Or you hadn't had enough, you were still up for more. And I said to people, my wife and I went round to a party at a friend's place, and I said, there's going to be some surprises tonight. There always are. On election night. In the US, their election, there were some surprises, the Scottish referendum, Brexit, and all that, surprises. We always have surprises here of some well-known, long-serving MP that gets tipped out. So I said, there's going to be some surprises tonight. I felt quite good in saying that because I knew there would be. And to me, the biggest surprise of the evening was that there weren't surprises. So that was a surprise. So I knew I won anyhow. No surprises. And with what's gone on in other elections around the world, that is in itself a surprise. No one got tipped out that we didn't think might. But the surprises I want to talk about this morning aren't the election ones that didn't happen, but rather what happened in the early church. So the God squad, the Christians, way back just after Jesus set things running, they were a bunch of mates. They got on really well. They knew each other. They were friends. They enjoyed getting together. And they were all the same sorts of people. They had fantastic worship, good teaching, always getting together for a coffee, enjoying each other's company. A bit like us. We enjoy getting together. We come here Sunday by Sunday, or every second Sunday if you're busy. How many of you come every week? We used to in the old days. Oh, two or three, that's great. The others will be here next week or the week after. We're great. And newcomers were joining them. But people from round and about from the neighbourhood, same kinds of people were joining them. But those that came and joined them were brand new to this faith story, this Jesus journey. They weren't peeved Presbyterians or bored brethren or apathetic Anglicans. They were new, off the street, people from round about. They joined up because they could see that this bunch of Christians are doing good stuff, and they're doing good stuff together. They mean business. And these Christians are making a powerful impact around the place. So I want to be part of that. And that's why they joined up. So the church kept growing. They were all basically locals. Everyone sort of knew each other. It was exciting. They could do this sort of stuff for an eternity. That's what they felt like. But God had other ideas. He said, you guys, get off your bottoms. I've got something new and exciting for you. So today, I want to look about how the truth of God, Jesus, and them, the great treasure, how it got released from the church out and about to other people who were right outside. In fact, this had already happened when we take up the story in Acts chapter 11. And there was a certain amount of rumbling going on amongst the Christians in the church, the kind of rumble that's bigger than what you're feeling if the preacher goes on too long and you didn't get much breakfast this morning. It's about now that the next lot of people will be arriving, I think. The people who haven't put their clocks forward. So just turn around and look at them nicely when they come in. It's interesting, at the other end of daylight saving, you know, people don't arrive an hour early. They seem to adjust their clocks at that end. But I want to read from Acts chapter 11 and the story. This is when these things have been happening. And I'm reading from verses 1 through to 18 from the Kiwi Bible. I don't know how many of you have brought your Kiwi Bibles with you today, but this bit is unpublished. The church types and their leaders heard that a variety of foreign ethnic sorts of people had gotten bit by the Christian bug. Now, this wasn't so good because they really wanted to keep this stuff to themselves. I mean, if the foreign people got hold of it and changed and stuff, then you couldn't resent them, could you? So they reckoned Pete, who had caused all the trouble, should front up and give a bit of an account of himself. So Pete turns up in town and the church people ripped straight into him, sort of like lions into Christians. What's the story? They tell us you've been with some of those foreign and ethnic sorts and you've had a feed of their foreign food. Come on, explain yourself. Well, Pete says, hey, you guys, don't fall out of your tree. I'll tell you what happened, okay? I was having a day sunbathing down at the beach and doing a bit of praying, actually, and I saw something strange, this vision kind of thing. It was like this large duvet cover or even humongous table mat coming down from the sky. And this new guy's, it was filled with all those ethnic sorts of animals that people who eat curries and that sort of stuff like eating. Then I heard a voice, and this voice said, get up, Pete, grab one of those things, smack it on the head, cook it up with a bit of curry and stuff and have a feed. What could I do? I said, hey, Lord, because I reckon it must have been God coming up with that sort of idea. I said, hey, Lord, you've got to be joking. You know I don't go for that ethnic food. It's yuck. Well, a bit embarrassing to tell this, you guys, but the voice spoke from the great blue yonder again. Listen, mate, said the voice, you've got a bit of a cheek turning up your nose at ethnic things that I've made and said, ah, all right, haven't you? Now, said Pete, as he's telling the story, I know you guys think I'm a bit thick and everything happens in threes to me. Believe it or not, this stuff went on three times, me saying yuck to those curry creatures and the voice saying, you deaf or something, the stuff I've made is all right, whether it's got curry or pesto or tomato sauce on it. Broaden your horizons, Peter. Third time lucky, at last the tablecloth loaded with that awful stuff went back to the great cafeteria in the sky and the curry fumes started to dissipate. I thought I'd wander across to the backpacker's place where I was staying and grab one of my Moro bars and a Coke. When these three blokes turn up and they said to me, hey, why don't you come over to our place for a pizza and a pint? Well, there's no harm in that, I thought, and I reckon God thought it was a pretty good idea too, seeing a few of the local constabulary, because they were cops, you see. And it's advisable to keep in with the cops, even if they are a bit ethnic. So off down the road we go. Half a dozen of the lads came with me for the trip, as things were a bit drab that day. Anyhow, we go to this bloke's place. He's called Cornelius, which seems to me to be a bit of a wussy sort of name. But we haven't had a Cornelius in the Bible so far. And if his mum wants to give him a wussy name, who am I to give him a hard time? So Cornelius says he had an angel drop in one day, and this angel bloke said, send one of your crew down the road and there you'll find this bloke called Pete and the backpackers down by the number one shoe shop. He'll tell you a thing or two which will put you on the right track for eternity, which has got to be a good thing in anyone's book. And sure as my name's Pete, while I was telling these guys about God and Jesus and them, man, the Holy Spirit came down on them, just like he did with us when we started doing church. Then I remembered what Jesus had said way back. John the Bee baptized them with H2O, but you lot are going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, you guys, Pete told the church leaders when he's telling them the story. If God's done for these foreign people, same as what he did for us, who am I to tell God what to do? And the church leaders, Bart and Matt and James and the rest of them said, you're dead right, mate. Who indeed are you to call the shots and tell God his job? God's clearly got a soft spot for all types, including all those ethnic peoples, whatever they eat and do. Now, isn't that just great? God's all right, and they told God that. And that's the end of the reading, just the, from the Bible. You and me and the gospel treasure and the spiritually deprived foreigners. That's what this is all about, the story. Now, if God tells you to go and have a natter with someone about him, and often we do get that prompting to say something and show something of God's love, God is not going to tell the other person that you're about to do it. It'd be a setup, wouldn't it? Sort of wouldn't make sense. In this story, it's fascinating to see how God spoke to both sides of the conversation. So Peter was in Joppa, seeing this vision about all this stuff, trying to work out what did that mean. At the same time, God sent an angel to Cornelius, who was down the road in Caesarea. It's interesting how Caesarea got named. I don't know if you know the origin of that town. Julius was out when he was emperor, out looting and pillaging and so on, and his phone went, mobile went, he answered and said, hello, Caesar here. I wrote down here, need joke, waken them up, you know. Anyhow, God had seen that Cornelius was a good sort of type, what we could call a God-fearing man. He didn't understand about God really, but he was prepared to listen. He had an enthusiasm for caring for the poor and like. He was a good man. And he was kind of like a Christian in waiting. And God told him to send some of his soldiers to find Peter. It's quite a different picture of mission from what we often have. We can think of mission is the great white knights going off on their gospel charges, telling the godless heathen to quit their sinning. Actually, some of them, like Cornelius, do a lot less sinning than some of us, good Christian people that we are. Some of them are sitting there waiting for us to come and share the love of Jesus with them. Outside these walls today, there are some people who are longing to know the love and forgiveness of God. Some of them, God has said, look out for some people who live a bit like Christians should and have a natter with them. There are some people that God is speaking to with the limited ear they have for God, saying, look out for some Christians. They've got something to share with you. So some of these people outside are listening to God to the extent they're able to. Question is, we in here, how good are we at listening to God? This story wouldn't have happened without those two parts. Cornelius was listening to God to the extent that he could. What if Peter hadn't done what he was asked to do? To hear what God is saying to us, we don't have to be the best of Christians. Peter certainly wasn't. We read in the Gospels constantly of things happening in threes before he could get the point. It's the same here. God has to almost hit him over the head to get the point into his thick skull. Jesus didn't call Peter a rock for nothing. I don't think it was an insult, which is, I think, was, who was it? Kelvin Davis called Bill English a rock, which he intended it to be derogatory, but Bill English took it on board as something solid, and Jesus, you know, something dependable, reliable, and Peter became that. But the story happens. It happens three times in the vision that Peter gets. And eventually God got through on Peter's line. And what did Peter do? He kept on thinking about it. What's God saying to me through this? He didn't just move on to the next thing. If God speaks to you, challenges you in some way, maybe as we worship, maybe as you read the scriptures, maybe as you're praying, God says something to you. Do you keep thinking on it, chewing on it? What is God saying to me? How am I supposed to respond to that? Do you write down the challenge that God has given to you? Have another look at it. Or if it's slightly disturbing, the challenge that God has given to you, do you wait for something better next week? God told Peter a few things, three times, to make it sink in. Maybe God has to tell you or me something three times before we get the message. For some of us, it's probably 103 times. But God is patient. Getting back to the people out there, the Corneliuses of our world, God has a job for us, every one of us here, in some place, some context, to tell those Corneliuses what we know about Jesus. And that starts right round and about us, in our homes, in our neighbourhoods, in the community where we live. And there's a lot more way out yonder, that in some way we have some responsibility for sharing the good news with. For starters, there's 1.8 billion Muslims, many of them actually busting to really know God. What does it take for us to get on our bikes to do our bit? There's 1.8 billion Muslims, many of them actually busting to really know God. What does it take for us to get on our bikes to do our bit? There's 1.8 billion Muslims, many of them busting to really know God. What does it take for us to get on our bikes to do our bit? To share Jesus and his love, you don't have to be some old-fashioned git who's out of touch and goes round preaching at street corners, throwing paper at people. To share Jesus and his love, you just have to be an ordinary Christian, someone who loves God, someone who wants to do things for and with God, and someone who's cutting down in the sinning department. Here in Opawa, a long history of engagement and mission in the world, in the community. Countless thousands have come to know Jesus Christ through the people of this community of faith because of the willingness of generations of people in this church and the way they have shared their faith here and beyond. It's a great history, a great heritage, and it's not over. Perhaps we don't have a big number out from here currently across the world, but there's a good bunch of people that we are engaged with through Transcend and so on. People like Lizzie Pawson, Peter and Leonora, and the local ministries of Opawa in reaching, connecting and caring. Where did I get those words from? Your website? And some of you will have met up with Ryan Bond recently, I saw in the newsletter. How many were here when he came with his wife? Yeah, a number of you. I remember him as an enthusiastic, youngish Christian engaged with a Tear Fund project probably 15 years ago or something. And I was very pleased to see of the new ministry that he and his wife are engaging with. In this time of self-denial and prayer, we're being challenged to pray and to give as we engage with the treasure, the gospel that's been given to us. So we pray for some of those with Transcend who are serving, some of those 1.8 billion Muslims. We're encouraged to give, to support that work, and to pray for those Muslims. We're being challenged to give. Those of you that get a wage or a pension of some sort, you're going to be getting up to $20 extra from 1st of April as a result of last night. The tax cut that wasn't a tax increase that wasn't taken away, or whatever it was. Some of us will be getting increased wages. Some of us don't have a lot. For decades, I've been involved in World Mission and I've seen some incredible stewardship and effective use of money donated through times like this. I've also seen United Nations relief staff driving around in flash vehicles, these staff earning incredibly good salaries for the good that they do in their 6 months wherever they are placed without any local language or understanding. I'm not putting down the United Nations people, they do good stuff. I've seen very effective bangs for bucks from Transcend people who I've visited and others in mission across the world. NZBMS that we are supporting has fine leadership. I've spent some years helping to upskill the general director, Rachel Murray. She worked with me in my Interserve days. Good quality, great outfit, value for money in terms of taking and sharing the good news in some pretty tough places. So, to sum up, firstly, how much are you listening to God? I don't just mean when God uses special effects like Steven Spielberg would offer, like on the Damascus Road. Sometimes people think that, if God's going to speak to me, he'll do it like he did with Paul on the Damascus Road. Lights, flashes, bangs, exciting stuff. If God wants to speak to me, then he'll do it like that, and then I'll hear it. Most of the time, for most of us, God speaks in the still, small voice, the quiet. Do you know why God had to make all that noise and stuff on the Damascus Road? Why he had to do all those lights and flashes and stuff? Because Paul was too thick to hear anything else. So God had to pull out all stops. Now, sometimes God speaks like that, and if you come and tell me God's spoken to me with lights, flashes and bangs, I'll think it's probably because you're slightly thick and slow. But that's okay. God uses different ways to get through to us. But most of the time, it's in the quiet. It's in the praying, in the listening, as we come together to worship. God speaks to you and me in the ordinary stuff every day if we listen. So are you listening to God? Secondly, what are you doing about what God has already said to you? Thirdly, there's 1.8 billion Muslims, many, many busting to really know God. What does it take to get us on our bikes to do our bit? Perhaps that's the only line you'll remember from today. Let's pray. Lord, be patient with us, because we're sometimes rather slow. But you know that. Give us a kick, give us a push. Pull the chair out from under us. Do whatever you need to do. Because deep down, we want to do your will. Please help each of us here this morning to be moving along the right track, to do the right thing in the right place for you, starting right here where we are in Opawa in Christchurch. Please help me as I look at the people around me where I live, where I work. Show me how I can use my gifts, my experience, my suffering, my story, my pain, the good news of you in my life. Help me to know how I can use all that to serve you. For most of us, it is right here. For some of us, our prayers, our time, our money should be going a lot further. Maybe towards those 1.8 billion Muslims. Lord, please help me to have the courage to do what you're calling me to do with my time, my money, my praying, as the gospel treasure goes out from beyond the comforts of where I am to those who long to know you and to receive your love. Help me, please give me a push every now and again, and please help me to listen to my mates as they too give me a push to be obedient to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.